Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Patricia Conroy won the CCMA Female Vocalist of the Year in the mid-90s. She then went on to earn 8 number one singles at radio and 5 number one videos on CMT. She's a 3-time winner of the CCMA Independent Female Vocalist of the Year. And you know her hits, of course, Bad Day for Trains, My Baby Loves Me, and Mary on the Dashboard. Her latest CD is entitled Talking to Myself. It is my pleasure to welcome Patricia Conroy to the show. Hey, Patricia.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. I've been writing all day, and that's next to performing, that's my favorite thing to do.
What a great kind of life to have as a performer. You mentioned the writing. So what's a typical day songwriting? What's that like?
Well, it's an actual, you know, get up, go to work kind of job, because I live, probably about a half an hour outside of Nashville most of the time, and then the rest of the time I'm in Canada. But while I'm here, I set up writing appointments, which start anywhere from 10 to 11:30 in the morning. So you drive down to Music Row, get into, wherever you're writing, whatever publishing house you're writing in, and sit down and start writing a song and hopefully finish it in the same day.
That's amazing. So are you going into one of these sessions with, you've got some ideas, either lyrics or melodies in your mind, and then you're going to share them with your co-writers?
That's right. Let's say you're doing a co-write. Sometimes there's three writers in the room, which is kind of cool. And I didn't do that up until the last couple of years, but it's really fun because you bounce ideas off each other. Somebody comes up with a melody or some sort of line, hook line, and you just sit down and start getting creative. It's an amazing process. And really, I can't believe you can come up with new song ideas every day. It just boggles me.
Yeah, you would think, somebody who's not in the business or even somebody in the business would think eventually you would sort of either run out of ideas or go through a dry period. But I guess if you've got those tools in your songwriting kit, so to speak, then you can find them.
Well, you certainly go through dry spells. I mean, I definitely have to take a week off every once in a while, and touring does that. For me, if I'm on the road, I don't generally do any writing, but I'll get ideas, and most of my ideas, unfortunately, come to me in the middle of the night while I'm asleep.
Oh, wow.
Or drifting off to sleep. I know, it's really a horrible thing. It's
yeah.
Kind of a gift, and I'm really, really glad I keep getting, inspirational ideas, so to speak, that they just kind of pop into my head. But
wow.
I really have to force myself to get up out of bed and put it on a tape recorder or someplace where I know I'm not going to forget it.
That's amazing that would be the place where you would have the most inspiration. So, like you say, you've got to get up and then take whatever time it is to record it.
To record, at least get the melody or whatever I've got in my head.
Right.
I think what happens is just the day-to-day, music has been such a part of my life for so many years. And now, writing for, the last however many years, everything is a song idea to me. Every time somebody says something, every time I listen to the radio, I hear something and it kind of filters through me and my musical sense and comes out in the middle of the night when everything is shutting down and I'm not worried or stressed out about anything.
Right.
And there's no place I have to be. Suddenly everything kind of just bubbles up and it's like, oh, yeah, that's why I love music.
There is something
why I keep doing this.
There is something about nighttime that has got that intimacy, I guess, and you're kind of more open, so it kind of ties in.
Right. Like I said, even when you're in a room co-writing, and I love it, I just finished a song with a couple guys, but there's such a sense of urgency, and you're sitting right there, and it's not that you're cracking a whip and you have to get it done, but you really want to, especially if you're onto something really good. You just don't want to let it go. It's like your favorite meal. It's kind of like, okay, I know I should stop eating now, but I think I should be a pig.
That's right.
Does that make any sense?
That totally makes sense. I know when you're on a roll, I know when I'm writing with someone and you just want to, you want to finish it. You have to finish it because it's turning out so good, you can't stop at that point.
That's right. So yeah, I've just been really engaging myself lately and writing with a lot of different Canadian writers. And thank you very much. You said you heard the song that I wrote for One More Girl.
Yeah, I love that song, The Day I Fall. Beautiful, beautiful version by them.
Oh, yeah, they're just so talented. I'm so excited for those girls. Steve Fox and Lisa Brokoff and I wrote that.
Wow.
But, I'm writing with Jimmy Rankin quite a bit this week. He's
excellent.
Writing for his solo project, and I love his solo stuff. I love the Rankin family very much, too. But Jimmy just got this thing when he sings alone, and he does his songs. He's just such a great performer.
Yeah, I love his solo stuff. He had a great writer, as you say. Wow. So you've been doing a lot of writing since the 90s. You, of course, wrote, on your CD back then. Talking to Myself, a recent CD, rather. That was the first time you wrote or co-wrote every song on the project.
Yeah, I was a little hard on myself earlier on when I started writing. I loved writing, but, you know, I just heard so many songs that were better than what I was writing. And I was saying, you know, now I'm the best writer ever, but now I feel comfortable in my own, you know, in my own shoes and sort of feel like I have more to say. And that just happens with, you know, age and growth and you know, living.
So it's more it's more of life experience than necessarily getting better at the craft, or maybe it's a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a nice, you know, parallel thing that happens when you just keep doing it. You just get better at anything that you're working hard at. But, I've definitely lived a lot since I first started and, you know, recorded Blue Angel. I was, I was absolutely in love with Emily Harris. I still am, but everything revolved around her and her sound, and I just wanted to be her, you know. But now, you know, I listen to everything now. I listen to jazz, I listen to country, I listen to, you know, singer-songwriters like Sean Colvin and you know, Nancy Griffin, and just all kinds of different music, and just feel a little bit more well-rounded maybe as a writer and artist.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I know there are some writers out there who can write specifically for their voice. And I was talking to someone else on the show, talking about Gretchen Wilson, how she records her stuff, which, of course, is redneck sound mostly. But she can also write stuff for other styles of voice. Can you do that as well?
I think I can. You know, I'm really writing mostly for other people for the last, it feels like a year and a half now. I bring a handful of songs that I would record. But mostly I'm writing for other artists, and it's a really cool thing that's happened for me because, you know, being an artist and having a career and record deal and all that stuff, it starts to be a lot about you.
Right.
And I got a little tired of that, and it feels so refreshing to me to sort of sit down and say, well, what do you want and what do you feel and you know, what are you looking for and what do you want to say, and just getting inside somebody else's head and getting out of mine.
Yeah, and it must be a great rush when, for example, One More Girl chooses your song because, as you know, it's very competitive, and so One More Girl or whatever artist, they've picked your song, and that's got to be as good a thrill as almost recording your own.
You know what? It's an absolute thrill, and it's I feel really honored. I got a few cuts in the last year that just really made me feel like, you know, I actually belong as a songwriter because this is a tough town. Nashville has a lot of amazing, as you know, just amazing writers. And I'm just starting to feel like, I have something to contribute and I can actually be a part of this and have a future in it. I got a cut with the Rankin family on their latest CD. That was a huge thing for me.
Oh, cool.
And Lisa Brokoff, I got two songs cut with Michelle Wright. Jimmy Rankin is going to cut a couple of my songs on his album. And I got my first U.S. cut just today, actually, a new duo called Steel Magnolia.
Went
into the studio this afternoon. I got a text. Don't you love this world now, the texting?
Yeah, exactly.
I got a text in the middle of a co-write saying, Steel Magnolia is cutting our song right now. It's just like, so it's kind of all, it's just a really interesting time for music and for the business. And definitely for me as a songwriter, it's just great.
That is great. It sounds like you're on a roll and just the creative juices are flowing and there's really no stopping you right now.
Well, I hope not. I hope there's nothing stopping me. I feel really good. I'm eternally optimistic. You know, we've all got our things that we go through and I've certainly had my share, but I think life is just such a blessing, such a wonderful thing. And the fact that I can, you know, move past just being an artist, which I love to do, and I hope to do it for a long time, but to see something else out there that I can, you know, be a part of that, that will help other people's careers is just fantastic.
Oh, for sure, because that right song can make or break a career, or definitely make it anyway. It can put them at the top of the charts. And
that's so true, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I found it really interesting. You were born in Montreal, but your mother has a maritime country background, and your father had Irish roots, so there's a whole mixture of background there. Did that sort of spill into your musical influence, or how did that all come about?
Mm-hmm. You know, I really think it did, Dave, in a lot of ways, and I'm sure it's what made me a little bit unique, but at the same time, you know, it made me a little less than, you know, down the pike country at a lot
right.
of times. You know, for me, that's a good thing, but, you know, not for everybody, but because I love country music, but I just don't want to be something that I wasn't born and raised up in.
Sure.
I was definitely raised in an Irish community and household. And, you know, I could easily have sung Celtic music, but instead, you know, I love country, so I let that kind of seep in a little bit to my singing style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure, you know, just my vocal styling is largely drawn from singing a cappella Irish songs when I was a kid. That's really
oh, wow.
how I started singing. Yeah. My family was called the Shamrock Cayley Band, and we used to play around Montreal, and I would just stand up there like a stick and sing 20 verse Irish songs, you know. But anyway, and then, you know, my mom's side was very, you know, roots country, the Hank Snow and all that kind of stuff. And then I threw in what I loved, which was Emmylou and the Eagles and Linda Ronstadt and that kind of thing. So I am definitely a mixed up kid where country music is concerned. But all good. I love doing it.
Definitely, as the more influences, the better. I mean, I think it just makes an artist more original, and you know, you're staying true to your roots. So, you know, I want to share a song with our listeners now. This is from your latest CD, Talking to Myself, and the song is called "I Know." A great, beautiful song. Can you tell us a bit about it before I play it for our listeners, Patricia?
Sure, I can. I wrote that with two of my favorite writers, Britton Cameron and Jack Sizemore, and I had the idea sort of, you know, somewhat constructed. And I often draw ideas from other people's misery. Isn't that terrible? So my best friend Colette, and here I am laughing. Oh, it's so funny. But anyway,
definitely.
Colette got her heart broken pretty bad, and the guy was just a real mean type of guy, and I was kind of glad that it happened, but she was really, really destroyed by the whole thing. Anyways, she was pretty tough and didn't let anybody know, but I was fully aware of the pain she was going through, so this is what turned into this song called I Know.
Wow, that's great. This is Patricia Conroy, I Know, here on In the Country. Conroy with I Know here on In the Country. That is from her CD, Talking to Myself, her latest one, in fact. Now, Patricia, back in the mid-90s, you won with the CCMA Best Female Vocalist of the Year as well as Best Album. How did that feel as an accomplishment at that time?
Oh, my God. And that seems like a lifetime ago.
Wow.
But you know what? I was so excited, and I was just so excited to be, you know, making a living making music, and just to get an award like that, or Album of the Year, and winning Female Vocalist was just like, I almost fell out of my chair. There's nothing quite like a feeling of a room that size full of people, you know, applauding you for doing what you love to do.
That's the thing, yeah, exactly. It's something
Great.
You love to do, and that's almost its own reward right there.
Oh, it totally is. I mean,
yeah.
I have no regrets about what I chose to do. It kind of chose me, and you know, every year that goes by, and I kind of go, well, okay, I'm still not working at, you know, wherever, Joe's
yep.
Garage, which I'd be happy to do.
Did you ever have a backup plan?
No backup plan.
No.
Somebody once told me a long, long time ago, if you're going to get into the music business, don't look left and don't look right. Just keep going straight.
That's right. I guess if you do have a backup plan, you're going to jump to it.
Probably going
to
do it, because
yeah,
I have
yeah.
many times when I kind of went, oh, should I stop this? Do people care about my music? I don't know what I'm doing.
Did you recall what got you through those times of doubt? Was it just the love of music, or was there anything that sort of kept you going when you weren't sure about it?
That's a really great question, because no one's ever asked me that in an interview. I'm happily married, and I've been with the same wonderful guy for 23 years.
Wow.
And he's kept me going.
Oh, great.
He's just a great guy. His name is Bob Funk. He's from Milford, Saskatchewan. And he's a good Saskatchewan guy. You know, he's meat and potatoes, you know, don't get all fancy, just, you know, the golden rule. And me out there in the music business with Wolves, he would just, you know, always be there at the end of the day and just set my mind straight and
wow.
my heart. And sometimes you just need somebody to ground you, and he's done that for me for sure.
That is so cool. What a great thing to say and hear. And so Bob is involved in the music business?
Yeah, he produced the album that you just played that song from,
right.
Talking to Myself. And he produced my last full album called Wild as the Wind.
Yeah.
And he tours with me and, you know, does other studio work, produces albums for other artists, and he loves music too. So I guess we have that in common for sure.
Very cool. As a songwriter, is there an artist out there, and of course there's going to be some big names that you could mention, but is there anybody, say for a sentimental reason, an artist out there that you would love to have record one of your songs?
Ooh.
Anybody that you've sort of been a fan of?
Oh, tons.
Yeah.
Oh, tons. Well, you know, I told you how much I love Emmy Lou. I mean, that would
right.
just be a crazy fall. Yeah, that would be
that
my
be so?
Number one choice. But I also love so many of the female singers. I love Leanne Womack. I just think she's tremendous, and I'd love to hear her sing one of my songs. But I also really, really love Martina McBride.
Yes.
And, you know, I certainly wouldn't mind any of those gals cutting one of my songs. But if you ask me who I'd like to sing a song with, my first choice would be Keith Urban.
You know, I've had other artists on, of course, the female artists, and they always mention Keith Urban. Can you give us a specific reason?
He is so cool. His songwriting and his voice. And his guitar playing are just so fantastic. I mean, for me, Keith Urban or Vince Gill, and I absolutely
right.
love Vince Gill as well. And I met him, and he played on my first CD, which was a complete highlight for me when I was in the studio doing my first project.
That was on My Blue Angel?
Yeah, he played three of the songs. He played, I think he played a little mandolin, and he also sang background vocals on the title track, as well as Take
Great.
Me With You, and I can't remember the third song right now, I was a huge fan of his at the time, and when
yeah.
the producer said he was coming to sing on the track, so it was just, I thought, well, if it just gets better than this, somebody wake me up here.
Is there anybody, so you met Vince Gill early on, is there anybody to this point that you haven't met yet, Patricia, that would still be a thrill for you?
Probably, yeah, tons. I mean, I haven't met, you know, a lot of the older artists, to be honest with you, like the Grand Ole Opry artists. I haven't met
right.
Willie Nelson or that, you know, ilk. And I would just love to meet some of those guys and sit down and talk about songwriting.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
that would be Kris Kristofferson, I mean, you know, just to be in the room with those guys for any period of time, be able to talk with them, that would be a dream come true.
Oh, for sure. The stuff you could learn from them.
Oh,
they've,
man,
been there,
yeah,
and done it. And have you had any opportunities to pitch songs that in any original ways? I've heard different stories. You know, there's the usual roots, but have you ever had any one-on-one encounters or those kind of things?
It's very difficult. I mean, it's probably easier than I think, you know, because there's a lot of stars just walking around the streets here, but I'm really shy to kind of go up and say, hey, I'm a 50 artist too, and pass on the CD. It's just kind of, I just can't force myself to do it. So I'm actually doing it the old-fashioned way. I'm working through a publishing house here, and they plug my songs, you know, to a lot of the artists here in town. And it's just, it really is kind of a crapshoot. You can have a handful of great songs that never get cut. And it's just, you know, who actually ends up listening to them. But I think I'm in the right place at the right time, it feels like, now. And better now that I'm, you know, really finding my own as a songwriter. So I think, you know, the opportunity meets, you know, all the other criteria. It's just starting to happen for me.
That's very cool, and it's great to hear. But we're going to turn to another song now, Patricia, called When, which is also from your Talking to Myself CD, and this was a big hit for you. I love this song. Can you tell us a bit about it, and then I'll spin it for our listeners?
Yeah, you know what? This is one of those occasions where I sat down with a girl, Hunter Davis, at her house, and we'd never met before, and I really just had a line, and the line was something like, well, I think it was probably the first line of the chorus. It's not going to be broken forever. I said, what do you think of that? Can we do, like, you know, a broken heart kind of love song? And she said, yep. So she just started playing the guitar, and it just, it took off. It was written in probably, I don't know, an hour tops.
Holy cow. Yeah, I've heard the best ones are written that quickly. I mean, if the idea is there, it's going to write itself.
That's right. Don't think about it. Don't overthink when you're writing.
Very cool. This is Patricia Conroy and When, here on In the Country.
I'm gonna have to
want to let you know I've been a huge fan of yours for a long time, Patricia, with Bad Day for Trains and Blank Pages. Great songs. I've always loved your voice, hearing it on the radio.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. I know we have to go, but I'm laughing so hard because we recorded most of that at our little home studio.
Oh,
and
wow.
Bob must have played that solo 500 times.
So
I went in and went, it's perfect. It sounds great.
We loved it. Let him know.
I will.
That is awesome.
That's
Patricia,
so funny.
It's been great, and I know we can find you on the internet at patriciaconroy.net. You're also on MySpace, and if someone wants to order your new latest CD or any older ones, they can do that as well there.
Absolutely, and we'd love to hear from anybody out there, you know, Facebook, MySpace, you, whatever. I'm going to get on Twitter soon. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's
never
where everybody
ends.
I know.
Dave, thank you so much for having this show. This is just fantastic to just get, you know, hooked up with people out there. It's just a wonderful thing for you to be doing that, so thank you.
Oh, thank you, Patricia. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, and I wish you all the best, and I hope to talk to you again in the future.
Anytime.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you,
You're
Dave.
Welcome. My guest today has been country singer-songwriter Patricia Conroy. I'm Dave Woods. Thanks for spending time in the country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by.